Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. Probably a tripartite episode today. Or at least one that has three parts, if that's what that word means. I'm Tyson Harley. Boy, nice, vibrant, warm day here where I am in the Midwest. And just got back from mowing the lawn. And yeah, I like push mowing. I actually like push mowing. And I got a lighter mower just because, you know, you get that exercise in. I don't have a large yard. It's not small, but get that exercise in once every week to week and a half or 2 weeks, depending on the time of year. And, you know, for me, it takes an hour and a quarter-ish to do. So the tripart, I think I'll get to three. I'm not gonna guarantee. Depends on how long it takes. We will definitely cover first Trump's misstep in the Epstein files. There's nothing to them. Let's gaslight my base. We'll talk about that and how his solution is very easy. I don't know why he's not doing it. Second thing we'll cover is that the latest in the Brigitte Macron, the First Lady of France, the developments on allegations that she's a man and how it's pretty sorry. The latest developments, the latest denials. Now, I'm not even saying she definitely is, but that. And then third, I might cover my thoughts on how to fix immigration, how to fix, really, I'll call it, immigration through universities, and what should be done to make America more educated again and make America more employed again. All right, so first, this Epstein file gaslighting. Hey man, don't gaslight me. I know you ran on opening these Epstein files. I know you did. But yet, as you know, Trump recently is acting like it's a big Democratic hoax after whatever it was, 3-4 weeks ago, I suppose, where Bongino and the FBI director look basically, Patel maybe, look forlorn and saying, oh, no, we're not gonna follow up on any of this stuff. Nothing to see here. So then, you know, we get this nugget of Trump being told by the AG, I think it's the AG, is that Pam Bondi, that just in a normal briefing, you're in them. And then Trump going, why do we need all this stuff? Oh, just stop it. We got better things. You're still thinking of the Epstein thing? And it's like, yes, we are. And you remember, the reason you won is that you convinced people that you would be the guy who would take on the stuff that we're fed up with. Now, I do want to say, I want to give him some credit before I just say it's really advice for Trump, if nothing else, while also calling him out, because I think that's important. You don't not call out the guy just because you voted for him. I think he's done a lot. His first 90 days to 100 days were miraculous, were incredible. The guy's got incredible energy. The second 90 days, and we're not quite there yet, or rather we just hit them, not so good. What with continuing the wars, not getting that done, I think he thought that would be a very quick solve because he's a wheeler dealer and the communicator, and he's forgetting who he's up against, even though he nearly got killed by them, in my opinion, he nearly got killed by them. Much of the American and European establishment is against him. It's not going to be an easy job. You got to dig in your heels. So, fine, he's not done as well with stopping the wars. He's not done as well specifically with the Epstein files, supposedly under the idea that he got told he's in them. Okay, so what? That's what you should say to anybody. I don't know if you do comments. So what? He's in them. That literally says nothing. Okay, if I'm going to investigate a potential mass criminal conspiracy. And I mean that in the literal sense. The idea was, at the very least, Ghislaine and Jeffrey at the bottom of it. Two or more people going towards a criminal enterprise, working in a criminal enterprise, is a conspiracy. So if I'm going to investigate that, and it has a bunch of tentacles, i.e., like Israeli intelligence, like Eli Cohen in the late 50s and early 60s, if I'm going to investigate something where the guy literally was a fake socialite, wining and dining with powerful figures in industry, entertainment, government, specifically defense, it's going to be a wide investigation. All right? They were in New York at the same time. Trump is one of the elites of New York City, as far as movers and shakers. Of course he's going to be in it. Why wouldn't he be? It doesn't mean anything. So just admit it. I said in the last episode, I believe it was the last episode, that two of the early victims were ignored at first. They were sisters. And one of them comes out and becomes a champion of, you know, conservatives. In that, thank you so much for uncovering all of these awful Democratic things, you know, and implications because these people were involved with Epstein. And then she said, I don't know if you get it, like, Trump was there 3 days a week. Now, I'm not saying over years, but over periods of time, he was there 3 days a week. Okay, if that's true, and they ask him the question, they ask Epstein the question, then they would already have their lead on Trump if they didn't already. So of course he's, quote, in the files. That doesn't mean he did anything. It's like the Diddy files. The Diddy events. I can't think of the famous name of the parties. Freak-offs. Not everybody stayed into the 12:30 to 4 a.m. range when things got really crazy and people were filing away from the main area of the event. Some people left. Well, the people that left are a lot of people. A lot of movers and shakers, and some lessers as well than those, I know, but still, you get invited to that party, you go, you now can practically call yourself something unless you're just a really hot chick that some guy wanted to bring. And then you can say you were there. Doesn't mean you had anything to do with the freak-offs. He's basically bringing a lot of people in. So, we have Bondi saying you're there. We have an Epstein clip where they ask him in an interview, did you ever socialize with Trump? Yes. Were you ever around minors with him, with minors present? I plead the fifth. And my instinct on that was just what Candace Owens was. That's why I think she's got a good kind of legal mind. Yeah, but the minors thing is what he's really going to get in trouble for. He's not pleading the fifth to protect Trump. He's pleading the fifth because it was probably a blanket statement. It doesn't mean did they do anything with minors. It literally, the question was, were minors present? Well, anytime you admit to minors being present, when you're the one who's being charged with that stuff, would be something that if your lawyer said, always plead the fifth when it comes to minors. It doesn't matter if it's a big thing or not. It'll stop follow-up questions. We don't want you to answer them at all. That's your right. It doesn't mean, that's a smoking gun. So he's there. He might have been there a lot. He may have been groomed as a billionaire. You know, if it really is a Mossad or a CIA or a UK or a combination intelligence operation, it was one of them, at least one of them it was, then you would expect him to try to forge Epstein, to try to forge relationships. And if in those relationships he gets to hobnob with very powerful people who are billionaires, and he has them over because it's a great place to hang out. Hey, why don't you come over next Monday? Why don't you come over next Wednesday? Why don't you come over next Friday? That's just, you know, trying to groom your potential source. It doesn't mean anything. So if Trump went there, he should just say he did. Now, here is a caveat. Why wouldn't he just say, and I've heard he said this on a low level, a lot of people were around him, but use that same argument and don't back down to the releasing of the Epstein files. Now, what we have, though, is fear of the unknown. Because if you're the FBI and you're investigating scores of people, but you start with the most prominent, or, you know, you get to those folks earlier, then even if it gets to, we didn't really find any type of criminal or immoral associations or activities with this person, still you've investigated. And you might have done some deep investigation to get on the way to as you continue to try to figure it out. The investigation of those leads might lead to Trump exposure due to any number of things. Was it immoral? The other thing I was going to say, as far as me not thinking that Trump likely did it, was that, remember, people forget he doesn't even drink. So you're a lot more likely to be, A, you don't drop your moral inhibitions as easy. B, if you're not even a drinker, you're probably, of course, this is all probabilities. There are non-drinkers who are serial killers. Of course, it's all probabilities. But that's I'm also telling you why I think that he probably wasn't involved. But I don't know that. He doesn't even drink. Right? And so I tend to think Trump would not be in a situation where his judgment is compromised and he gives in to some weird temptation. It's not even a weird one. It is when you're older. But if a guy's 24... and a girl says she's 19, part of you wants to, I've been there. Part of you wants to not confirm. She says she's 19. And that's what I mean by that. If part of you wants to, and then you drink alcohol, you're more likely to just go with it. You're more likely to let that little voice be unheard, or to squash the little voice. I tend to think it's just an association, only because he pushed it so hard and they went for it until suddenly they didn't. You know, he pushed it as a campaign promise, and then they really were going full steam ahead. They were, you know, tweeting and talking about having pictures of the files and so on. I tend to think it was a genuine activity. And then it went belly up when Trump has to be too trolly. If he just stopped being trolly, it would help. You know? And he's trying to get the ever-Trumpers to just ring the same choir. And it's not going to work for most of us. We want the files open. Because you understand, it's like a matter of principle. Those who have been getting away with these things, I don't care who, they need to be scared at least once sometime in the last 3 decades that, no, the lot of you, there's actually a true possibility that you could be punished and end up in prison for the rest of your life. There needs to be high-level cases. It's the principle of the matter. Do I care about the Epstein case? Absolutely. Do I care about the details and the victims of the Epstein case? Absolutely. But that's different. It's bigger than just that. Even if I didn't, the importance of releasing the files so that people in high places start to get burnt and don't think they're just immune due to their positions. It can't be overstated. So Trump, just say, of course I'm in them. Of course I'm in them. I knew him. I even went to his place. I've taken a flight, whatever it is. But that's different than what they're talking about. None of us knew he was that guy. Unless you were a person who did the immoral things he was trying to do further in the background. And I did not. So if I did not know that, and I was never blackmailed, which I was not, I did not have the information of, I'm not supposed to hang out with this guy. I never partook of the further temptations. Therefore, I didn't know the details of the further temptations. And that's that. But other people did. And what those other people did was criminal. And so we're releasing the files. And certainly, we don't just gaslight your entire base. Okay, second topic. Becoming Brigitte. First, the background quickly. And then my thoughts on it. Background. Brigitte Macron, First Lady of France. Quote, wife of Emmanuel Macron. Allegations, first through a French author. And then probably along with that, through two specific female sources who are also French. And then inspired by that, American podcaster Candace Owens, all say Brigitte's a man. Then, recent developments are that, well, some time ago, I think it's years in the making, the two main subsources, not the author, were sued for defamation in French courts. Long story short, it's much easier to sue for defamation in French courts. They don't have a separate public figure carve-out, and or if they do, it's not quite the same. In America, if you sue a public figure under our case law, it's important to be able to criticize in public figures. Therefore, it's not the same as suing for a private citizen suing for defamation. So you have to have actual malice and some basis for the truth. That's going to be my paraphrase of it. If you're missing actual malice, and there's some basis for coming to the conclusions of the statements you came to, public figures, it's going to fail. It's going to fail. So, further background is that those two people, not the author, were sued for defamation in the French courts. This has been going on for some period of time. Recently, last 3 weeks, last month, something like that. Brigitte Macron did not even win the defamation case against the French citizens under their weaker law for defamation. Okay? Other background is the author has never been sued. Now, after it comes out that, wow, they didn't lose their defamation case. The general, you know, without going into the details, the meta-analysis would be, well, obviously there could be something to this after all. It's not just total dismiss it entirely hogwash. So that's been settling in the ether. And then we get the news within the last couple of days that Candace Owens is being sued in an American court for defamation by Brigitte Macron. Now, my thoughts on this. I've kind of teased some of it, but we'll go into nuances and why further meta-analysis. What I mean by that is I have not even watched Becoming Macron. I've listened to some episodes of Candace where she's touched back upon that topic several times and just highlighted some basic facts. With those basic facts, I have enough information meta-analysis. Think Bill Binney, A Good American. You don't need to decode the message and your enemy in war. It's helpful, but you can also gain some information by simply understanding the traffic. Usually this this high-ranking general does not, I'm sorry, this high-ranking admiral does not even talk to this commander, but once every quarter. Now all of a sudden they're talking a lot. Uh-oh, what's going on here? Be really aware of the theater for which that commander is a part, or whatever it would be. You can gain insight, and sometimes significant insight, without knowing details. Meta-analysis. So, the first meta-analysis is, what do you mean you're suing Candace? You didn't even win a defamation suit in France, where it's much easier. A second one is, what do you mean you're suing Candace? You didn't even start a defamation suit against the author of the book that inspired Candace Owens to have the series. That seems to indicate, specifically after you failed with just two, that you think someone who made a whole book, definitely you'll fail at. So it ends up being instead a PR case. It's just an attempt to intimidate and then an excuse to seed some new verbiage for your allies in the media to simply be able to parrot your narrative. So that's first couple of things of meta-analysis. But then another thing is that I want to give a nuance to the defamation suit to the two women in France that Macron lost. The nuance is that it was more like they were suing her on suing one of them on a misspeak. I don't think they, I think I've been saying this wrong. Speaking of misspeaking, I think while there were two initial sources, Macron only sued one of them. I believe, I really think that's probably the case. So one or two of those main female sources. And when she did, per Candace, there was a legal team and everything, it was more about a misspeak, not the general idea of whether or not Macron is a man or not. But that what they were sources for that. So technically the defamation argument was very narrow, and even when it was very narrow, they lost. So that being narrow adds to another meta point of why this is going nowhere. Another meta point of why this is publicity is that rather than any attempt to win the lawsuit, it's instead publicity intimidation, is that Candace's lawyer did not get informed that they were going to even do the lawsuit, that they're going to file the lawsuit. They had been in touch for months, months, and she didn't get told. She found out through the news. And when somebody had a big story on the lawsuit, there were three authors. It wasn't a quick breaking news, we saw this lawsuit. It was a big delve into it nearly immediately, at wherever it was. I forget what media had the big long story. But there were three authors. It's as though they got a chance to look at the filing for at least 24 hours, something like that. And then Candace, their attorney, did not even get informed. The lawsuit itself does as much background that is not a statement of fact that is relevant to the lawsuit, as it does statements of fact that are relevant to the lawsuit. Things like just really defamatory and/or false statements towards Candace Owens. Now, I say defamatory. In this case, I mean not that she could win a lawsuit, but that's the motivation and the spirit for it. In that, at least some of them are utterly not true. Others are entirely irrelevant. But so that's another point. Like, it's more like I'm going to claim things in this filing that exaggerate the Candace Owens' point of view or characterize her in some way, rather than stick to the matters of the law at hand. Next point. As I said, for American defamation, it's such an interesting thing because it's a leader suing an American journalist under American law. They filed over here. That's like, it's going to be American law. And so with that, as I said, again, I'm paraphrasing, but it's the public figure part of this. By definition, public figure carve out of defamation, and it can't, because it's public figure, unless you're operating out of malice and there's really no basis, you know, there's no good basis for your allegations, your conclusions, then you can't win. Well, they're not going to find that. Okay. They're just not going to find that. And because they're not, that again, this is a publicity stunt. They hope to settle. They hope to settle because the initial thing is some ungodly number, which the lawyer won't say. Meta-analysis number, whatever we're on, at a meta-analysis point. So the lawyer goes on Jake Tapper, who also didn't see Biden's decline until he saw it enough to write a book about it. Till then, he, quote, didn't see Biden's decline. And Tapper says, so the attorney says, and we've presented them, this being the Candace team, with plenty of information to show that this is patently false. And so Tapper asks a follow-up question. Like, what is that information? What is it? Birth certificates? Photos? What? And instead of answering to even one instance, even one noun that would describe the type of evidence, he just repeats himself, does the lawyer, and goes on to add an additional information that has nothing to do with the specific evidence that supposedly, showed Candace that these things are untrue. He just says something to the effect of, well, we've presented a lot of evidence. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but it's the nature of it. It's that he didn't answer the direct question of, well, what types of evidence? Are we talking birth certificates? What are we talking about here? Did not answer it in any way, shape, or form. And now we go to another meta-analysis point, which is that the suit lied about the amount of communication attempted and that actually occurred between the Candace team and the Macron team. Basically saying the Candace team did not give an opportunity for them to disprove, when in fact the receipts are there where they communicated routinely, including many asked for an interview, saying, hey, this is where we're going, and with specific yes-no questions. We're talking over a course of, I don't know, maybe the special came out in April. Something like that. So let's say it did. I'm not saying that's exactly right. You know, in January and February, maybe March, they're trying to attempt to communicate, to say, well, you know, we need to hear your side of the story. We want to get your side of the story. What the Candace team did in a great fashion, as they were asking these questions, they had an attorney set up what this meant for the law, talking about defamation law, both initially and ongoing, as they didn't answer. The attorney stated, you know, all the different contexts of what not answering did, what attempting to ask did, and so on and so forth. So there was massive amounts of communication and attempts for further clarification. Even things like, please describe the members of the family in this photo and the like. Did Brigitte naturally give birth to her three children, and so on and so forth, things like this. None of the answers go answered. None of the answers get answered. And then the attorney says something along the lines of how the fact of a non-answer, or rather, you know, defamation can be cured, or, you know, if not a legal defamation, it will the suit pass, if questions get asked but not answered. So they've had non-communication and stall, and have reached out plenty and have not gotten answers. So with that, again, I've not watched Becoming Brigitte. The background is really weird. They basically admit that supposedly, as a 14 and 15-year-old, the former president had the hots at least, and it was kind of the beginnings of an interested type of a relationship between he and either his 30 or his 40-year-old teacher. That's where I said I wasn't sure if it's 16 or 26 years. So 14 or 15 versus, you know, 30 or 40. And so that's where they, start the relationship, which is already technically illegal in France. I don't, maybe it's the statute of limitations as far as how long it's been for that, because there's a difference in if you have direct control and power over a kid, then the kid has to be even older for it not to be a statutory rape type situation. So that's a topic number two. I don't know that she's a guy. It does seem very plausible. The allegations are, where are the family photos? Where's the wedding photos? You have one. Where's your brother that you say is the guy-looking dude in this photo? Where's your brother? Brother's not coming out. Even if he was private, you'd think you would just come out briefly, leave his house. I mean, it literally is the jokes of, hey, you ever notice that you don't see so-and-so and so-and-so in the same room? And it's the joke about, are these the same person? Because it's funny that they look kind of alike. It literally is that. Like, why don't we see you in the same room? Oh, well, he was at the inauguration. Really? Where? That could be him? Could be him? Was it him? Where is he? Produce the family photos. The photos of when you were a, quote, woman raising your young children, your infants, when you take photos like crazy. Where are they? So again, I have not watched Becoming Brigitte, but the meta-analysis says, at the very least, the development is interesting and they're going to lose their defamation lawsuit in America. They're going to. And they even let it go through. It seems to be just a way to try to get to settling, which is very dumb because then they can ask for discovery. So what they do is try to intimidate with some ungodly amount. On the Tapper interview, the same attorney, Tapper goes, well, you know, what are you trying to, how much are you trying to sue him for? And he goes, oh, well, you know, it's going to be significant. The question was more like, well, is this more about getting her to apologize and take it back, or is it money, or what is your approach? He goes, oh, while we are certainly would find some value in her apologizing, we're going to make sure, paraphrase, bracket, we are suing her ass off for the amount of money. And then Tapper says, well, you know, give me some context. Like, even your settlement in something-something case was $180 million. So what are you starting at here? So, yeah, it's really an intimidation slash settle case, publicity case, slash not just publicity, because the publicity won't go well amongst those who already think there's a hell of a case about Brigitte Macron being a man. But it's publicity for those who don't, but that might work against them. And it's publicity where you set narratives so someone can quote things that are not even true out of your lawsuit to, actually, the irony is, to defame Candace Owens. So it's not going to work. It's ridiculous. Just like the Epstein thing, we want to get to the truth of it. Just like these little relatively beginner power couples that are getting drunk with power, you know, we even want them to get their asses handed to them in court or in the court of public opinion, a la Ryan Reynolds, Blake Lively, and picking on that poor actor. Another thing that Candace covers. We want the powerful to stop getting away with shit. We want the powerful to stop just intimidating through lawfare people that they want to shut down and want to ruin for one reason or another. We're tired of it. All right, guys, this has gone long enough. I'm not going to go into tripartite. I had recorded this before and didn't like quite the way it came out. I would like to say this is probably a future episode, and that's how to fix universities, how to make universities serve Americans again. I want you, your homework is to think about that. What might Tyson be talking about? How to make universities serve Americans again? I mean, to make them serve Americans to our best interests. And by definition, that means not to other interests. If it serves our best interests the most and more than it does now, it must be serving other interests less. And how to make immigration work for America again. Those are two of my future episodes. I do want to say this. Legal immigration is one of the lifebloods due to, these are actually kind of related topics, the university stuff and immigration. Due to the faults in our university system, among other things, we allow immigration to not always serve Americans directly, even though legal immigration provides incredible value because of the faults in our university systems and in our education systems. Legal immigration provides incredible value to the United States. So how to fix immigration to make it serve America again? And really even serve the immigrants, the legal ones. And then how to make universities serve America again. How to make America smarter again. Those will be two future topics. Otherwise, I appreciate your listening to The Scales of Truth. Remember, I'm over on Chemology 411 with Kim Schultz. And that's her podcast. We have, even just between us, coming up on... we're 4 3/4 years now. Over 4 3/4 years. I'm sorry, 5 3/4 years we have been on with at least weekly episodes. And then for a little while there, we did extra bonus episodes. So over there, 52 times. So there's your 310-ish before long episodes once we hit our full 6 years. And 312-ish, rather. And, you know, then all of those were, for a little while, we did extra episodes. So we are probably coming up on, just with the episodes that Kim and I have done, 350, if I had to guess, 360, maybe more than that. And then Kim has some episodes she does herself. So go check out Kimology 411 to listen to me in a little bit different light. Where, listen, I'm talking to other people. I can be silly and funny. I try to be a little witty, at least with sarcasm here and there here, but definitely see a different side of me over there. So check me out on Kimology 411 as well, on all of your favorite podcast platforms. So appreciate you listening. Thanks again for listening to The Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley.